There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fernando ready in the strike two pitch. Is hit back to the box, dribbling to second. Samuel on the bag, throws to first, double play. Fernando Valenzuela has pitched a no-hitter at 10:17 in the evening of June the 29th, 1990. If you have a sombrero, throw it to the sky.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
This is Tillman against the smaller McBride. They feed it out to the opposite corner. Three-pointers good, Al Horford, and the Celtics have tied the NBA record, 29 triples in a game.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
For the Lakers, LeBron James and Bronny James, both in the lineup.
NBA history at Crypto.com Arena. A father and a son playing together on the same court as teammates.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080, The Fan. Happy hump day, everybody.
What is
happening? Hello. Had a weird dream last night.
It's not a good sign.
Why? Why is that?
I don't like weird dreams.
Really?
I'm out on weird dreams.
Well, what's your definition of weird dreams when I say that? Are you thinking something bad?
Yeah, usually thinking something bad.
Oh.
Yeah, weird for me is usually a bad dream. If it's a good dream, it's not weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have...
You say weird dream and I'm thinking something kind of kinky.
Okay, so you're going sex dream. He's going nightmare.
Dude, spit on that.
There was no, not with the people in the dream.
That wasn't in your dream last night?
No.
Didn't have any of that?
Because Swag was the other person in the dream.
Oh, that's a little weird.
Wow.
So it wasn't that kind of dream.
Situation.
That's a little strange.
When you're about to get freaky at night, you think about it.
Then we got some things to talk about here. I think we need a Therapy Wednesday on the show. If that's
how was your therapy?
Yeah. You got talking about Swag at therapy, and then it lingers in the dreams.
Did I wake up horny?
Maybe I did.
Who knows?
It's over.
You know? Is it over? Did it finish? What happened? No, it was weird because we had something going on at work, and it required us to go to Florida, and Swag booked his ticket because naturally Swag goes to everything.
Yes, he's at every event.
But then he booked my ticket without asking me. And then I had to fly to Florida by myself.
You had to go solo flight to Florida.
Yeah, and then I was in Florida, and it was swampy and humid.
What were we doing in Florida? We're doing live shows down there at Daytona Beach, just hanging out?
I don't know why we were there. There was an event going on that I never figured out.
Didn't quite get all the way to the end of the dream.
And then, like, he ended up bailing on the trip.
But what the hell,
Swag? My ticket.
Pilot's game, I guess.
Yeah, probably.
Santa Barbara's in town. We got to go call that game, man. I can't
and
miss that.
No, he's like, I'm out.
I'm not staying here. This is stupid. I'm not going to Florida.
What next thing I know, I'm in Florida.
Right before bed.
What did I eat?
Or consume might be a better word.
Yeah, what'd you consume last night?
I didn't consume anything.
Water over there at your house.
I had water. I just had a weird dream.
Check it out. All right.
I have very vivid, weird dreams.
I don't have that many vivid, weird dreams.
Almost every day I wake up, I'm like, what was that dream?
What was going on there?
Where'd that come from?
Yeah, that is a weird feeling, though. When you wake up, you're not quite sure why your brain was firing that way. And also, it doesn't really connect. I had the one where I fell asleep for 10 minutes and then was woken up. Usually, I don't wake up to the baby monitor, but I did last night, And I woke up to the sound of crying, and I thought, God, I didn't get a very good night's sleep. This is not good. I feel tired. And I rolled over, and I looked at my clock on my phone, and it was like 9:42 p.m.
So you hit REM sleep in 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes. Wow. And woke up and like, what? God, I'm tired. Wow. What time is it? Is it 4 in the morning? No. Oh, no, it's 9:42. Then he proceeded to cry for 20 minutes, and it took me a while to fall back to sleep.
I would have just thought telling you guys weird dream means... weird dream. And it's interesting that that term means either nightmare or sex dream to both of you.
I don't have a lot of nightmares, so maybe that's why. I also don't have a lot of weird dreams. I don't remember a lot of my dreams.
I remember very few of my dreams.
Yeah, I wake up and just kind of, it's a blank slate most mornings.
Well, you guys do dream. It's just there's a lot
of you do. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. There's something going on up there.
But I just, rarely do I wake up and I'm dreaming right as I wake up.
Mm.
And so usually I don't remember.
I
don't know.
Why do I remember too much of my dreams?
It's very weird.
And some people remember none of their dreams.
I don't know.
Makes no sense.
We need a show shrink or something.
A sleep scientist to come in and tell us.
Yeah, a sleep scientist would be good.
It's actually not a bad idea for like
a summer segment.
Middle of July. Hey, what's going on? The All-Star Game. Coming up next, we got a sleep scientist coming in for 30 minutes to try and decipher all of
this. Now, can you help break a three-way tie? Can you define what weird dream means to you?
If I tell you I have a weird dream, what's going on there? Are we getting kinky sex? Is it a nightmare? What's happening?
If you dream in black and white versus color, does that mean anything?
People dream in black and white?
Hold on a second.
That's a thing?
So. I'm trying to think. I don't know if I can define if my dreams are in color or black and white. I just know what's happening in the dream, but I've never thought about that. I don't know.
Now I'm thinking about it too.
You threw me off with that one.
I feel like I see color, but I don't know if I do.
I feel like
I don't see color.
You're damn right, brother.
Okay. I'm a white in Oregon. I don't see color.
That's right. We're all the same.
Research project.
Nameless, faceless people. We're all just human beings.
OHSU sleep scientist something. We'll.
That would be a good one. That'd be fun in July. I think that's a good idea. Put that on the show sheet. Let's make sure we don't forget that idea.
Yeah, file that one away. File that one away for 6 months from now.
I imagine it'll take some doing, too.
This says, some people do dream in only black and white, but most people dream in color. A 2008 study found that 12% of people dream entirely in black and white.
So, like a Dorothy situation.
That's all you get.
Black and white, and then, bam, we're in dream world.
There you go.
Colors.
The bad part of Wizard of Oz is all you get every single night.
Yeah.
That would be a big bummer if that was your dreams every night. You woke up, it was black and white. That would kind of bum me out. It's like watching a game in standard definition. It's not quite the full picture.
You know, it took like the sixth time for me to watch The Wizard of Oz where I realized she was in a dream.
You didn't quite figure that one out.
I wanted all that to just be what really happened.
Couldn't quite connect the dots on that one.
Well, I saw it at a young age.
When was the last time you saw Wizard of Oz? It's been a long time.
Probably a year or two ago.
I feel
sometimes
like they've come out
during the holiday season and I'll like watch like 30 minutes of it.
I feel like they've come out with three new ones too. It's like the current remake we get a lot of.
Well, we got Wicked coming out.
Different spins on it. Yeah. The prequel, the postquel, whatever you want to call it.
I don't know how to feel about that one. I'm probably going to end up seeing it in theaters because it's a big musical and my kids are interested.
Somebody texted in, I'm married and I'm in my 40s. I can't remember most of my dreams. I gave up on them a long time ago. Happy Wednesday, everybody. You know, it's, you know.
What's up, boys? This is what I'm going to say today.
Yeah, that's what it is, man.
You know, we're just day by day. We're grinding, make it to the end of the day, and then, you know, we just kind of give up and wake up the next day and do it all over again.
I did vote yesterday. That
Look
was
at
nice.
You. Well done.
Done.
There
well
you go. Done. Yep, got my ballots. That'll be on the agenda this weekend.
I have not done it yet. Now, is the ranked choice thing hard to figure out? Don't we have ranked choice voting now? Is
that's
that
a ballot measure.
You vote if we want to do ranked choice.
Voting for ranked choice.
You
okay.
Want to do
Were you
that
guys out
not?
On that one? Are you for ranked choice or out on ranked
I'm
choice?
I'm for ranked choice.
I was too.
It sounds like it's a little more complicated, but I'm for it. I want to rank my people. I like the dirty poll.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
give you my top five. You're my top five candidates. I'm going to give you one through five.
Swag looks like he's not in on ranked choice.
I need to read through the actual language and see how it is all applied.
Yeah. I had trouble finding a couple things in my pamphlet. I had to keep going to the index. Yeah. I'm like, God, where is this thing?
Kind of flip through. You got to. I take it seriously though.
Like, I did too. Yeah. I was reading about all the favor, anti.
Yeah,
you know,
like a lot of random races, city councils. That you're like, I've never heard of any of these people before. What do they all stand for? I've seen 30,000 television ads.
Probably
but I
should
mute them out.
Probably should.
Probably should.
I also wanted to ask this question. I don't know if you guys know this. You'd be maybe more in touch with the political spectrum. Why are some candidates on my ballot Like I had, I don't know, Joe Blow Republican, and then I had Joe Blow Democrat, comma, working families.
Like, working family party, man.
Why is the Republican, did he not add working families? You make me kind of think I want to vote for you a little bit if you're throwing working families in there.
Well, that's a separate party.
Well, on my ballot, there was one that said Democrat, comma, working
I think it's
families.
Not big enough. It's not a big enough party to just say you're a part of the working families party. And so if you didn't have the Democrat label also there, you would just look at it and like say so-and-so
party,
working families.
But I also
and
had
the Libertarian
one,
Party. So the party puts you on the ballot.
But I also had one that was green, comma, progressive.
Yeah.
And then Democrat. And then Republican, and then Libertarian. And I was just like, how do we get these labels?
Decipher all this.
Because if
it's up to the party to put you on a ballot.
Yeah, but if I'm running against you, and our names are on a ballot, and mine says Brandon, independent, and then it says Jason Swigard, Republican and Democrat and working families.
That would be a hell of a trifecta right there.
It's going to be very brutal probably for the voting situation.
I'm checking all of my boxes. Has anybody ever tried to pull that one off? Four different political parties to endorse them and to sign them up for a ballot? I represent everybody, man. I believe all of the things. I'm for all of you. Let's do this.
I did have the thought of like, dude, and there are people in this country telling me that mail-in voting is ridiculous. Get out of here. This is the easiest thing of my life.
I have never not voted via mail-in ballot.
Me either. Yeah.
Never. My
and
entire
I never
life.
Want to.
No, that's the last thing I want to do.
Yeah.
I value my time and it takes effort to go places and I don't like going places.
Right.
So the mail-in stuff though, will you go, like I fill out the mail-in ballot, but I always go hand deliver it to a ballot collection
area. I put
it
at the library. We have a voting like mailbox
little box
specifically for the ballots. I go
drop
it off.
The elections office or one of them for Washington County is actually off of Murray. It's not that far.
So you go to the actual
office.
So
I actually go down and
very
they have
official.
People outside and collecting them.
Now, is that for peace of mind to know that your ballot?
It's for peace of mind, yeah, just on the off chance it doesn't get delivered.
Well, have you seen what they're doing this year?
No.
I don't know if you got it in Washington County. I know we have it in Clackamas. I don't know what you have in Multnomah. We have a scan and tracker.
Oh.
So I signed up, and now I get texts when they process my ballot.
Oh, that's nice.
I'll
like
that. I'll probably go do it because I do it. I'll do it like in the middle of the afternoon when it's not
busy.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's not like I'm trying to do it at like 5:30 or 6 and everybody in the lines, you know.
Well, do you have a scan option on yours?
I don't know. I haven't looked.
You should try it just try it this year if you can. If you haven't voted yet, try it just to see what it's like.
I usually just pop mine in the mailbox, if we're being honest. Unless I'm lazy and I forget, because there's a deadline that you have to have
it
in the mail by.
Yeah, it has to be postmarked by the date.
But sometimes you forget last second, and then you go drop it in one of the little slots in the drop voting thing. I did see somebody with a great point yesterday that said, once you vote and you turn in your ballot, there should be a thing that you could check to opt out of any more political advertisement.
Oh, I agree with
like,
that.
Like, I'm unreachable now. Yes. I have already voted. Yeah. It's done. I'm not going to do another ballot. This is all I got, and I don't need to see your ads anymore.
It's not that I didn't know political candidates at the age of 8, but I found it a little interesting that my 8-year-old, who could not care less about any of that in the world, started basically talking about candidates because a kid on her bus, I think, is in a house that's just constantly talking about these issues.
Interesting.
And she's like, Dad, so-and-so on the bus says you can't vote for this person. You have to vote for that person. And she didn't know the names.
Yeah.
So I was like, what?
What was the first election that you remember as a kid?
94.
94.
Maybe.
I was too young, and I don't remember 94. The first presidential election.
It'd be 96.
Yeah.
Sorry, 96.
First one I remember was Bush and Gore. And the Florida and the Chads, hanging Chads. That was the first one I remember.
Bob Dole, Bill Clinton, because I just remember seeing a crap ton of those Bob Dole, Bill Clinton ads.
Constantly on television.
Constantly on television.
What was yours, Harry Truman?
1980, Reagan and Carter.
I thought that was pretty good.
Lincoln?
Lincoln.
I was at the debate.
Guy got a raw deal, dude. Guy got a raw deal.
I was actually in the booth next to him. I couldn't believe what I heard.
Don't go in there, John! Don't
no,
do
it, was,
John!
No, it was 1980, Reagan and Carter.
Reagan,
because
Carter.
We had the
hostage. Bloodbath. What was that? Like a 490 to 7 electoral college count?
Yeah, it was a runaway. But we had the gas shortage. We had the hostages in Iran. There was a lot going on.
That was a big election.
Is that as bad as Dukakis?
Dukakis?
Yeah, Dukakis.
Reagan might have been a bigger landslide.
Yeah, I think it was.
I think that's the biggest landslide ever, is it not? Reagan over Carter? I feel like that's the biggest.
I think it's Dukakis.
I just read about this.
Yeah, because I wasn't very familiar with it. I just read about it and was like, I think Dukakis won one state.
That's all he got?
It was
one?
I think he won his home state. Historically bad.
Well, imagine not winning your home state in a presidential election.
He refused to be negative on his campaign. Yeah, and Reagan wasn't overly negative, but he was like a little negative. And people were like, dude, you're a wimp, is basically how the voting sorted it out.
So this says, according to the History Channel, number one is actually Lyndon Johnson versus Barry Goldwater in the aftermath of the John Kennedy assassination.
Okay.
We have a Lincoln versus McClellan. Reagan Carter was third in 1980.
Reagan Carter was worse.
Jefferson election in 1804.
Who can forget?
Nixon McGovern in 1972.
Oh, okay.
Reagan Mondale in 1984.
Oh, well, maybe I read that incorrectly.
I feel like the History Channel's pretty good at this stuff.
No,
but,
I believe it.
There's an FDR in there. Those are your top seven blowouts.
Do you remember being fired up for that election that you remember?
Because
as a kid, I remember just leaning Clinton because he looked younger. I was just like, I don't want an old guy.
I just leaned whatever my parents wanted.
No, it was...
My mom was...
I just remember it was the first time I was... You know, we talked about it in school, kind of just the election process, the electoral college, how voting works. It was the first time I ever really engaged in the political process.
Oh, you were actually engaged in it.
Well, learning about it and figuring out and understanding two different parties and different platforms and their ideologies and philosophies and that sort of thing.
I didn't really know anything about like that. I just knew the two people running.
Yeah, you know the names.
Commercials.
Yeah. Don't really understand politics. I was too young to understand politics.
I don't really want to understand politics. It's disgusting. It's gross. And we should be able to opt out of those commercials. It's
terrible.
Congrats
on voting, man. You're all done.
Thank you.
I got to do mine. I got to do my research on my pamphlet and then get my ballot in this
week. My little brother lives near downtown. He's like, who'd you vote for mayor? And I'm like, I live in Clackamas County.
I don't have a vote on that one.
I didn't have an option.
Come in and out of the city a lot, but I don't have a vote on that one, unfortunately.
Well, we got a lot to get to today. It is probably a weird show. I mean, maybe.
I think it's going to be a good show.
Wednesdays are always a little weird with the clock because we got paid at 40.
We do. Long segment.
Short segment in there.
We got to weave some hoops into things now.
I want to ask Josh Pate, who is very, he's very loud and out about fall weddings. I actually want to ask him his position on co-baby showers.
Yeah.
I actually talked about this with my therapist for about 5 minutes of my session. She's the opposite. She's like, why should the woman have to be there all by herself? And I said, well, it's a celebration. Yeah. They get gifts.
She's carrying the baby.
The guy just did one thing, and it's the fun part. She has to do all the awful things.
Looking at all the outfits, it's not really my cup of tea.
She disagreed with my stance.
What a beautiful pair of pants.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wear these, or he's not going to wear these.
She's like, hey, they're all gifts for the baby. I go, I don't think a breast pump is really a gift for a baby.
I mean, kind of. It's a conduit to the baby.
I could still hear that sound in my head. See those nipples pumping milk?
Oh, we're still full pump at our house. We're still full on pumping.
For you.
Constant pumping.
Well, it's a loaded show. There is a lot to discuss. I will start with what I thought we'd lead off with, and now we're not. Next on The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, I thought we would lead the show off today talking about the Celtics blowing out the Knicks and Bron and Bronny and the Lakers. And we can get to that stuff. It is the opening night for the NBA for the rest of the league.
Yeah, everybody else plays today, right? We got the two last night and everybody else today.
I felt weird.
Not quite everybody else.
Yeah, I think there's a Thursday game, right?
Oh, that's weird. Some people got to wait 3 days for their opener.
It's kind of weird.
That is a little weird.
Felt weird driving in. I kind of, maybe this speaks to what the situation is. We didn't book anybody to do opening night. Talk Blazers.
We did not.
Usually we do.
We have a college football guest today. That's it. No Blazer guest.
Usually like, there's a Richmond on the show, and I'm just like,
get the homie on. Text the homie. Is he awake? Let's get him on.
He probably is awake.
8 a.m. hour. Children. Come on, Mike G. Rich. Let's go. Come preview the season.
It's an NFL Zigger Zag Wednesday as well at 6:45. I had a late addition to Zigger Zag this morning for obvious reasons, so we'll get to that. I think it's fair to the show and maybe to the sport. The Dodgers-Yankees will be playing in the World Series starting Friday.
We've got two more days. Game one Friday night.
And last night during the L.A. Lakers game, the news came across Fernando Valenzuela died last night. 63 years old.
Super died. I didn't see what was the causation yet.
Well, I don't know. He had
stepped
away late in the season, or maybe it was during the early rounds of the playoffs. There was an announcement that he had stepped away because he's been there on their Spanish broadcasting team for
a long time.
Since 2003. And he had stepped away to address some health issues, but did not specify as to what he was dealing with. But he had stepped away from the broadcast booth either at the very end of the season or the start of the playoffs. Hmm. And so, but I didn't expect that. I just thought, okay, maybe he had, I don't know if he needed to have a surgery or procedure or something that he needed to take care of, but I had no idea that it was life-threatening. And that was just, that just kind of put a bummer on the rest of my, I was like, no.
63, too. I mean, it's 63 is way too young.
Well, it's right in your wheelhouse.
That was right when my Dodger fandom was, like, taking hold in 1981. He's still the only pitcher to win Rookie of the Year in the Cy Young in the same season.
He's the only pitcher his rookie year, by the way, 81. Swag is right on those two things, the Cy Young and the Rookie of the Year. He also had a 35-inning scoreless streak. He was the All-Star Game starter, and they won the World Series. No other pitcher in MLB history has accomplished all of those feats over their entire career.
And he didn't find out he was going to be a starter till like 2 days before the season. There was a late injury. They were going to have him be a reliever, and all of a sudden...
What? Yeah. I never knew that story. They call him up 2 days before.
Well, he was going to be in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And then one of the starters got hurt. And then, like, his first, I don't know, five or six, he was insane. Nobody could touch him. He threw the screwball. Nobody. His windup and
his
eyes.
His windup is iconic.
It's iconic. His eyes would close as he looked to the heavens. And
Yeah, there's a still picture. I got that stat from OptiStats. There is a still image of him mid-windup, and his eyes, he's like looking up like, God, make this be a strike.
Please let this be a good pitch, man.
And that was the last year. So they went on, they beat the Yankees in the World Series after losing to him in 77 and 78. And so, it was a special
day. Well,
it was, I don't know, he's not the greatest Dodger ever, obviously.
Most beloved, though?
But as far as Dodgers that played in Los Angeles... I don't know about obviously Jackie Robinson with Brooklyn is a different deal. And I don't think he played in L.A. I think they moved after he was done. I might be wrong. But
you have to acknowledge the impact his being Hispanic played.
Well, being Mexican, not just Latino, but he was Mexican in Los Angeles and was there for the first 10 years of his career and everything that he did. I don't know that there's a more beloved Dodger in L.A. than Fernando.
Well, I was thinking about
this. To answer your question, by the way, Jackie did not play in L.A.
Okay. I didn't think so.
His last year was 1956.
Because
I think that was the year
played
that they
in the
moved.
Negro Leagues for quite a while and went to college and was in the war, so he didn't even get there until I think he was 31 or 32.
Yeah, he was close to 30 when he broke into the bigs.
Well, I've told you guys, my friend, he's Mexican, and this is one of his first if not his first sports heroes.
I'd imagine, yeah.
Now, he somehow became a Giants fan. I don't know how that happened, but his son is a Giants fan. And so, like, he pretends to be a Giants fan, but I know he secretly loves the Dodgers. He just can't say it to his kid because that's crushing.
That's kind of a weird dichotomy right there.
And I wish he would lean into it. But I saw this take yesterday from Brian Berger of Sports Business Radio. Three most popular pro athletes in Los Angeles since 1980. He says it's Magic, Kobe, and Fernando. He says Otani may get there someday, and Gretzky and Shaq didn't play in L.A. for as long.
Yeah.
So that's the list of the top three in L.A.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not from L.A. I don't know if I would disagree with that. Obviously, Magic and what he meant to that city. Kobe was beloved and to the point where people like don't like LeBron because he's not Kobe, and that's a whole weird thing going on with the Lakers, which is why their fans don't deserve that. And Fernando Mania was, it's one of those things that you read about and you see highlights of and you watch old games. Like, you always regret missing certain things in your sports life. And like, man, that would have been kind of fun just to like be able to witness that ride and how crazy it was, whether it was just for one season or for the length of a couple of years. That's one that I look back on that would have been like, that would have been fun. The rivalry, the mania that swept, all the fans that were coming to games and just the hysteria that it created. I look at him almost to us like we do this as Blazer fans, right? Like Brandon Roy's not the greatest Blazer of all time in any way, shape or form. Mm-hmm. But what does he mean to you? He means a lot more to you than maybe some of these other guys that were better players.
He sparks an emotion that's hard to put into words because they didn't win a title, they didn't win a playoff series, and yet we all know what it meant to have him
the
in
significance
that moment.
Of getting you out of what he got you out of and just having hope again and all that.
Fernando,
like, he's not better than Sandy Koufax, but he might be more beloved. He might be more, not maybe not Sandy, but some of these other great players that have come through that accomplished more. He's more beloved than those guys.
Well, and he didn't look like, you know, he doesn't look like Aaron Judge. He didn't look like
I'm looking at his 1990 no-hitter.
He's wearing glasses. He's specs. A little pudgy.
He's like 5'11", 200 pounds. He's a chunk, man.
He also, I don't know if he had double-digit home runs in his career, but every once in a while,
he popped one.
He won two Silver Slugger Awards as a pitcher. And so.
That's great.
Yeah. And it was just. That kind of put a damper on what was a pretty fun night of sports with the two NBA games and then all 16 hockey games going on.
Just crazy to happen during a Laker game,
just,
too.
That it was. Just like,
and 2 days before the World Series begins in LA.
Yeah, the first time Dodgers and Yankees sent in a World Series since he was
The last time, wasn't it?
Yeah, 81.
Yeah.
This is how popular it is. So the Dodgers will only retire a number usually if you make the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. He's the only Dodger that has his number retired that is not in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I might text my friend today and be like, yo, I know your kid's a Giant fan and this is like an arch rivalry, but just stop. Come on. That's your sports hero.
Embrace your roots.
Embrace who you really are.
It's okay.
I might get you a Fernando jersey for Christmas.
Come out of the closet as a Dodger fan. It's all right. We will not shame you. It's okay. You got to be true to yourself.
Would have loved to have gone to a Dodger Stadium when he was pitching. Because I got the opportunity in my previous job, the headquarters, the insurance company I was working for was out in Hartford. And so they, you know, once a year they have everybody back and do some training or whatever. But they took us to a Red Sox game. And Pedro pitched.
Mm.
And we were out in the center field triangle, that left field where the bullpen was. And it was samba lines going on and all the people of the Latin heritage and stuff out there.
Yeah.
And I could only imagine that's what was going on in the pavilion at Dodger Stadium when Fernando
pitched. God. Well, and also a good point, too, and I totally forgot about this. They did a 30 for 30 on L.A., and I can't remember if Fernando was the main topic, but basically when they built Dodger Stadium.
I vaguely remember this,
I mean, it was a Mexican neighborhood, and they said they just displaced all
it's
of them.
Chavez
said,
Ravine.
We can connect the dots there.
Yeah.
And that was a great point, and the fan base from Mexico, they hated the Dodgers for a long time, and then you had this hero that came out of nowhere, and now it's a massive part of the culture in LA, but that helped save it and revitalize it.
The big news of yesterday, we've got everybody getting mad about history last night, and also this guy confirmed a psychopath next on The Fan. So I was driving around getting some stuff done yesterday after the show, and I had a text from a friend that said, yo man, I heard what you said about the Chargers and Herbert, and I didn't like it, and I thought Dirt nailed it. And I said, I know what you're talking about. And he said, you kept blaming Herbert for their loss. And I
said, you dumbass. What the hell's the matter with you?
I said, I don't think you heard the show right. That was not me. And he said, no, I know your voice. That was definitely you. And I said, no, that was Bad Bet Brandon. This is Dirt and Sprague. I'm Sprague. That was not
This is Sprague. The alter ego that comes out from time to time when we lose a bet. We just get a little angry.
It was Bad Bet Brandon, okay? So you blame him for all those Justin Herbert comments.
Well, that whole segment then led to the YouTube chat debating Justin Herbert for the entire show. So that was lovely. That was wonderful. It's like, we're not talking about whether he's a top three guy right now.
I think we should.
That's not the debate. We were just talking about the game. It wasn't his fault that they lost. That was the only point of the segment.
Dirt, we have a confirmed psychopath currently in a sports league.
Do.
And I know people know it, but I don't think people are aware of it the way they should be. So last night, the Boston Celtics get to 29 threes. They tie the NBA record for most threes in a game. And with about 7 to 8 minutes left, they had a chance to break this record.
They did, yeah.
They just kept shooting threes, and everybody in the arena and the team knew it, and they couldn't break it. They went 0 for like their last 13 or something.
Yeah, and Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser.
I mean,
they had the second unit
Pittman
in.
Pittman Jr., like they were all launching
bricks.
Walsh shot one, and he airballed it. Like everybody wanted him to break it, including the team. Finally, the game ends, okay? So they blow out the Knicks, and we could do a whole segment on Mikal Bridges.
Yes, we can.
And how they traded 5 first-round draft picks, 5, for a guy that tweaked his shot and now looks like somebody that doesn't know how to play basketball.
Somewhere between Jamal Wilkes and Reggie Miller is what he's trying to do, and it's not working.
Yeah, well, he's not Wilkes or Miller.
Exactly.
That seems like a weird mistake.
I mean, he's like 28 years old. He's been in the league for almost a decade, and we're changing our shot now? What are we doing?
Pretty wild. But, you know, no worries according to the Knicks. So the Celtics win blowout fashion. It's banner and ring night, okay?
Yeah.
Joe Mazzulla gets in the postgame. They have housed the Knicks, maybe the biggest threat to them in the Eastern Conference this year.
Could be.
And they blow them out. They're up by 30 at one point in this game.
Yeah, that game was, I turned it off in the second quarter.
I don't blame you.
It was over.
Joe Mazzulla is one of the more interesting people in sports, not just basketball, people. He was asked in the postgame about what the court, because in the pregame he kissed the court as he came out. He was asked in the postgame, what did the court taste like? And he was asked about his championship ring. So bear in mind the first part of the question, what did the court taste like? And then listen to his answer.
Blood. Maybe I wish it did. When I got the ring, I don't know. This thing's too big. I don't know why is it so big and I'm never going to wear it. But it's cool to have. It's kind of what I thought. Yeah, I was more fascinated by the banner because, you know, I come in here every afternoon and take a look at those, and they represent so much. And so the banner was the highlight for me because it represents a lot of things that go into it, and then the rafters have a life of their own in this building, and so it was that moment was the coolest.
Blood?
Tastes like blood, man.
Or I wish it did.
Yeah, he's a vampire. It's Halloween season.
And then we let the man get spooky.
I am not trick-or-treating at that house.
Let the man get spooky. It's okay.
Is anybody else weirded out by that answer? What did it taste like? Blood?
I
wish it did?
He is an absolute psychopath. And I love every second of it. Can we hire that guy? How much money does it take to get Joel Mazzulla?
You want to hire a vampire?
I want to hire a vampire to be our head coach. Can't be any worse than what we got right now.
Sure.
We technically have a dead man walking currently because he's going to be out of a job in like 7 months. But
if
we got
much longer, we'll all sell our souls to the devil. 30 pieces of silver.
I will
just
gladly
to taste.
What is that answer,
dude? He had another answer the other day where he was asked about the pressure of trying to repeat, and you finally got it done, and he was talking about the Boston media and all the eyeballs on them. And he had an answer where basically he said, I don't feel any pressure, man. We're all going to die. What the hell's the point? And then just kept answering it. I was like, well.
I'm not going to lie. I've said that many a time in my life when someone's like, why don't you do this? I don't know. Does it matter? We're going to die.
The best round
years.
Of golf I played all summer. I have a tournament every summer in Southern Oregon that I care deeply about. And I get very invested in. And I feel a lot of pressure every time I play. You know what I told myself every time before I swung the club?
Hopefully the thing, yeah.
I'm going to die. Why do I care?
Exactly.
Why am I feeling any pressure? I'm going to be dead in however many years. I don't know when it's going to happen. I might as well enjoy it. It's a beautiful day out.
Right.
I love this golf course. And I had the best round my entire summer.
Exactly.
Totally ease the pressure. I am a big Joel Mazzulla guy,
we
man.
We should be living more in the, hey, we're going to die, so none of this matters. No. That should be our mantra.
What the hell's the point? Doesn't matter. I don't feel any pressure. I'm showing up. If we win it, that's great. If we don't, whatever. I'm going
to
die.
We get to sit in here and amuse ourselves for 3 hours every morning.
Do you want to peruse the internet for the reactions to Braun and Bronny?
Oh, God.
No.
I don't.
Okay. Well,
you know what? It could not have happened any more perfectly.
Really?
I don't think so. They went
Bronny
on a big run.
He could have hit the three.
He missed the shot.
They could have maybe had a lob, you know, Bronny to Braun.
When Braun cut and got that easy dunk, I actually, for a split second, because I could see it developing, I wondered, Bronny, if you know to cut here, your dad's going to give it to you to just yam it.
Lane is wide open.
And he just kind of stood at the
perimeter. But yeah, the Lakers went on a big run. They had a huge lead in the first half.
Yep.
J.J. Redick is like, all right, here we go. Let's take advantage
let's do
of this moment.
Now.
Do it. It's not really going to affect. 3-4 minutes, they were in there. They had the announcement. And then Anthony Davis took over. And boy, if he can play 75 games.
Which he will not, but.
But if he can, I mean, he was healthy last year.
I mean, he goes through his ebbs and flows. He's the kind of guy that dominates, and then you're like, look at that. He's the best player in the NBA, and then he disappears for a week, and then he comes back and does that.
Well,
and
Minnesota's a weird team, too, with this Randall stuff.
Yeah,
and
new pieces.
Kind of gets picked on all the time. But the Bronny thing, the Bronny thing happening, you know, I mean, like this whole, like, it was scripted. Yeah.
A little bit. Well, there was a script that they were hoping would allow him to do it and not get in the way of all the other stuff. It would happen naturally, and that was the perfect scenario for it.
Aaron Torres of Fox Sports Radio, of course, took the zag. We're going to zigger-zag in a second. Took the zag of like, this is stupid. Oh, Ken Griffey Jr., way better than this. And I know that opinion's out there, and it's real for a lot of people. I respect that. But Nick Wright, who is obviously a LeBron apologist, hopped in and said, I think you're my age, so I'm surprised to hear that you remember the Ken Griffey Jr. moment, because I think that was in 89.
That was in 89, I believe.
Yes. And Nick Wright is like a year or two older than I am, and I'll tell you, I didn't know that moment.
I very much remember it.
Right. But
I was just going up to college at the time, so I was
okay. But people our age,
I know,
saying that
they're the reverse of Braun and Bronny. That I mean, the Griffey was
the better.
He was the better player, and in this case, Bronny will never be as good.
But
as
I think
his dad.
I found
myself. It doesn't have to be the top. Why do we? I don't know. It was nauseating almost the reaction to it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to say it's the coolest thing that's ever happened in the NBA because it's not. It was just a cool moment between a father and a son. Who cares if it was scripted?
I had it perfect because I was actually watching the Kraken game on my main screen, and I had that on the other one. Kraken was at intermission, so I just turned the sound on when they went to it.
I knew it was going to happen in the first half. I just didn't know when exactly in the second quarter, and you nailed it. When they went up 16, that was the moment to do it. I kind of had the same reaction. I'm like, oh, that's cool, man. Like, we knew it was going to happen. We knew it, like, felt scripted
or
whatever. Just
the concept of baseball as a sport where, yes, you can, at a certain position or with a designated hitter or as a reliever, there are people that can play into their 40s.
You can never do this in that sport.
In the NBA,
this is crazy.
Just the fact that a scenario was there to allow it to happen is kind of ridiculous in its own right.
Dude, the guy's carried the league for 20 years. He's been the face of the NBA for 20
LeBron
years. Like, I don't care if his son is the last man on the bench.
Right.
He's not going to play a lot. He's probably not going to have a great NBA career.
I
don't care, dude. Yeah. He has carried that league on his shoulder for 20 years.
That was cool.
If he wants his son to be the 15th man on the bench, who's the 15th man on the bench in Portland this year?
Exactly.
Some guy that will never remember his name. He's going to play 7 minutes and like four Blazer fans.
Don't be mean to
will convince
man.
Themselves that he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And an envy. We can't trade this guy. Like, dude, why is this
Bronny
a deal?
Who
cares?
To get sent down to the G League team or two weight or something,
because
so he
of
can
who he
play.
Is.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why.
If it was any other player, this would be cool to people, but it's him, so it's like I hate it. That's to answer your question. It's,
I know. It's
all
about
the
LeBron.
Biggest LeBron guy. I respect everything that he's done, but I don't celebrate him the way others do. That was cool last night.
Overall, this is a cool moment, historical. We've never seen it in that league. And to one person on Twitter's point last night, I can't wait to see Cam Rising throwing a pass to Cam Rising Jr.
at Utah still. And you're 37 of his another medical redshirt year.
Or maybe Cam McCormick's son becomes a quarterback.
Yeah, there you go. Throwing a tutty to his dad.
He's limping up the field.
Pretty badass.
NFL Zigger Zag is next on the Fan. We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. I was still left surprised. The polarizing results from the chicken fried steak stuff yesterday.
Yeah, that's like a potulate.
That fired a lot of people up yesterday.
I think this permanently shook Andrew Nimick.
Garen Sagapotulet,
You know. He's going to be at Eugene this weekend. I just saw that. Quarterback from Hawaii. He's coming
to town. Said Nimick. I'm like,
no, not Nimick. He'll be on the pregame show, but that kid will be in Eugene this weekend.
Yeah, chicken fried steak, polarizing food item, I guess. I had no idea. So you learn something new every day. Let's get to NFL Zigger Zag. We have a lot to get to today. Let's start from the unfortunate fallout on Monday Night Football. Here was Marcus Spears.
Y'all, we watched the Bucs season, our potential of them making a run in the playoffs go down the drain, I believe. And I hate to bring this sobering type of news after what we saw happen to Chris Godwin.
There's Marcus Spears on NFL Live. Chris Godwin out for the year. Mike Evans out at least three games.
Yeah.
Dirt, Zigger Zag, their season has gone down the drain.
I'm going to zag on that. I don't know. Down the drain to me is too strong of a word.
Really?
They're 4-3. Now, look, the challenging part for them is the next 3 weeks. The schedule's brutal.
They get
Atlanta at home, who they've already lost to. They go to Kansas City, I believe, on a Monday night. And then they get the 49ers, who are incredibly banged up. So maybe that's a winnable game for them. The next 3 weeks are really tough. But even let's say you go 1-2. Which I would argue, considering your injuries, probably best case scenario there. If you go 2-1, you're great. You go 1-2 in that point, guess what you're at?
5-5.
You're 5-5. There's a lot of season left. That division is wide open. Is Atlanta going to run away from anybody? Carolina's the worst team in the NFL again, or one of them. New Orleans is an absolute dumpster that should be tanking for a top five pick. So I also look at the NFC wildcard race. You got basically one team above 500 in the NFC West. I don't trust hardly anybody in the NFC East. The NFC North is great, but they're going to eventually beat up on each other, and that will come back down to earth. So look, it's going to be brutal for them. That was a tough loss, but the Ravens dominate the NFC. I'm not going to overreact to it.
Dirt, there are 11 teams, 11, with two or fewer losses through week 7. You said Monday you thought there were only four college teams that could win the Natty. Zigger Zag, there are more than four teams in your mind that you believe can win the Super Bowl.
I'll zig on that. Not by a lot, but I'll zig on that.
Care to name them?
I think Buffalo can win a Super Bowl.
Really?
Like, I'm not picking this to happen, but if you tell me, like, hey, the Bills find a way or somebody gets banged up on kid, whatever, like, yeah, all right, they've been close. They damn near beat him in the playoffs last year. Bills, Ravens. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to feel about the Texans. Kansas City, obviously, so there's three. Detroit was knocking on the door last year. Probably should have won the NFC title game. There's four. And then you kind of pick your poison there. Green Bay, Houston, one of those other teams. So it's not by a lot, but I'll zig on that there's more than four right now that I would consider having a chance.
Jerry Jones made the headlines last week for how he handled his weekly hit on our sister station, 105.3 in Dallas. He returned. They talked it out. And unsolicited, Jared Jones brought up Derrick Henry, who many wondered why he didn't sign. Here was Jerry Jones on Derrick Henry.
In my mind, we're not playing very good football right now at all. And it's beyond whether or not we have Derrick Henry or not. Derrick Henry is having a career year. I don't know if he'd be having that career year in our situation. And that's really something you really do have to look at.
Zigger Zag, Derrick Henry wouldn't help the Cowboys with his current play.
I believe he leads the NFL in rushing yards by a wide margin over Jordan Mason, who's number two. How would he not help you? How would he not be having success?
I'm not Jerry Jones.
Don't you have a good offensive line, Jerry? Yeah. I mean, isn't that something that you like to hang your hat on? The Cowboys rushing, I believe they're last in the NFL in rushing yards per game at 77.2. The Ravens are first, now having Lamar Helps in that category, no doubt. You're last in the NFL in rushing yards per game, and you're telling me the guy leading the NFL in rushing yards wouldn't help you run the football? How is this guy still, I mean, it just, Swag made the right call.
Were you going to say alive?
Yeah, alive, partly. I mean, how has he not been forced out? How have we not had a coup in the Cowboys organization?
Billionaires don't
take this guy out, man. You have no hope.
Family members are in the executive position.
We need like a North Korea thing. Somebody's got to take one of the kids has to take him out. Get him out of the way. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
According to NFL on CBS, Derrick Henry has as many touchdowns as the Cowboys. And the most rushing yards since 2018 goes in this order. The top three are number one, Derrick Henry, 9,885 yards.
Pretty good.
Number two, Derrick Henry after contact, 7,028 yards. Nick Chubb is number three with 6,533 yards.
The Cowboys only have two rushing touchdowns on the season. Their longest run of the year, I believe, is 13 yards.
Yeah, Jerry is.
So just, by the way, like sometimes the nostalgia stuff gets annoying and the Cowboy stuff gets annoying. I'm glad they're on Sunday Night Football this weekend. Niners in a free fall. Well, who's healthy and playing?
Cowboys, in
Cowboys 3-3. That embarrassing loss. That's going to be a fun little Sunday night game.
The defending NFC champs got manhandled on Sunday by Kansas City. They also lost Ayuk for the year, and Brock Purdy threw three interceptions.
Things are going great.
Our good friend Mike Silver said this on KNBR about the Niners' chances to turn it around.
2022, they were 3-4, lost to the Chiefs. McCaffrey just arrived. They went on a 12-game run, obviously, with Purdy coming in for the latter part of that. So it can be done, but I don't think you want to just say, oh, they'll just do that again, because those things were really, really hard to do.
Zigger Zag, the Niners are still an NFC contender in your mind.
Yeah, maybe I'm high on my own supply here. I zig. They have been without their most important and impactful player this season, who will be back at some point. I think they're thinking maybe after the bye week, so not this week against Dallas, but then they have a bye, and then they get Tampa on November 10th. They're expecting McCaffrey back, which will help their offense tremendously.
Diana Rossini reported yesterday, Deebo Samuel, a name to watch, potentially being moved.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, they got to free up some salaries, and if they lose another game or two, the trade deadline is coming up that week before their game against Tampa, so maybe that's the move that you make. The other part of this for me is, like, they're in the NFC West, man. Do we trust Seattle? They dominate the Seahawks. They get them again in a couple of weeks.
Well, they've already lost two divisional games.
They have. Both games they had no business losing, but they lost them. Yep. And that's the way the game works. But it's not like there is a 6-0 team in their division and they can't dig out of this hole. They're a game out of first place. Seattle could lose this weekend. They win this weekend. They're back in first place. They're not out of the NFC.
And finally, very quick here, because we got a loaded second hour. Big breaking news this morning. Chiefs traded a fifth-round pick that could turn into a fourth-round pick to Tennessee for DeAndre Hopkins. Assuming they stay healthy, Zigger Zag, we should actually hate the Titans for when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl this year.
Zig, you shouldn't do anything to help them. What are you doing, Tennessee? You're telling me there's no other team in the NFL that would have given you a fourth-round pick?
Where were your Chargers?
Where were they at? I mean, how are we not going to get a wide receiver? You're throwing to Will Disley right now.
I asked the same question.
Go get a wide receiver, you morons.
We have a loaded second hour. There's NFL Zigger Zag every Wednesday at 6:45. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.